Hello and welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. Today we're going to talk about the pre-COVID student loan rolls and why they are coming back to life like Frankenstein's monster. Let's understand the context in which all student loans have gone before. Haha, I'm just trying to do a riff on current events there. I mean, so basically what's going on is the student loans, a lot of these rules that existed before COVID are kind of coming back. And I'm going to explain why, and it's really temporary probably, unless the court strikes down everything. So let me explain what I mean here. So, you know, you might have heard of the SAVE plan rules, right? If you listen to this podcast, you know about the SAVE plan. What a lot of people don't know is that there's really two big regulations the Biden administration has done with student loans. One of them affected PSLF, and that came out in July 2023. Another one of these regs affected all of income-driven repayment and various things around it, and that came out and was supposed to be effective as of July 2024. What's going on with these lawsuits is that the PSLF final rule was not affected, and the SAVE plan final rule was affected. And the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals put the entire final rule for the SAVE plan on hold, whereas the entire PSLF final rule from 2023 is not on hold. And so with that SAVE plan final rule being on hold, effectively, the student loan regime from before COVID kind of comes back to life. So we've talked a lot about the pay plan going away, the ICR plan going away for people without Parent PLUS loans. With the SAVE plan regulations, the whole part of those regulations, part of those regulations said that the pay and the ICR plans were going to be blocked and they were going to go away for anybody that took out a, you know, or anybody after July 2024. Well, with this SAVE plan rule on hold, the parts that block the pay and the ICR plan is now removed. If that makes sense. So in other words, the pay and the ICR plan are back on, you can apply for them again. That's kind of surprising. A little shocking, really. That's one thing that's going on right now. In the SAVE plan regulations, another thing they did was block double consolidation for Parent PLUS borrowers starting July 2025. Well, with this new rule on hold, now, technically, there is not an end to double consolidation. There is no end to double consolidation without this rule going into effect because the court ruling put an injunction on the entire final rule that they did. Another thing it blocks for now is weighted average credit for consolidation loans. After the IDR account adjustment, which was counting based off of whatever the loan was the oldest, this new rule takes the weighted average of all the loans and, you know, gives people credit for the weighted average of credit they've got for their consolidated loans. Now, with this regulation on hold, that is no longer the case. So technically, any loan that gets dispersed after September 1, as I record this, would be subject, with this rule being on hold, this final rule being on hold, would be subject to the pre-COVID rules, where if you consolidate your loans, you know, all of the credit is wiped away and you start over again at zero. Now, lest anyone hear that and panic, remember the IDR account adjustment is sort of like arbitrarily decided thing, right, in terms of when it ends, and that they've said you had to consolidate by June 30th, and then the loan had to be dispersed by about September 1, I think. So if they want to, they might just try to push quietly the dates for the IDR account adjustment, maybe a little bit longer if this rule's still on hold around September, right? Because the IDR account adjustment, PSLF waiver, were not part of this final SAVE plan rule, so it's not affected by the court orders. Now, you know, if we think about the other things that are on hold, so obviously the SAVE plan is on hold. That's the whole rationale and reason of for this court ruling in the first place, right? Now, the fifth thing that is big thing that's on hold from the SAVE plan final rule being blocked is administrative forbearance, counting for PSLF and income-driven repayment. So IDR and PSLF, it's really good, important to get payment count credit for periods of time that you're in payment and also periods of time that you're in some sort of forbearance. Well, administrative forbearance is supposed to count for IDR and PSLF under this new SAVE plan rule that was supposed to go into effect in July 2024, but with this court order, that's now blocked temporarily for now. So we're going back to the old way of things where forbearance did not count for IDR and PSLF. So those are the things that are on hold, but there's some things that are not on hold that are going to be of interest to PSLF borrowers. So for the rules from July 2023 for PSLF, those are not in challenge here in this court case. So we have certain deferment or forbearance periods count for PSLF. Now that's certain ones. So this is really complex stuff, but basically something called mandatory administrative forbearance while awaiting documentation. That's supposed to count for PSLF, but this forbearance that's happening right now under the court order is not mandatory because theoretically you can switch to a different income-based repayment plan. That's kind of one thing. If there's certain kinds of, you know, cancer treatment forbearances, active duty deferment and things that will still count for PSLF, even if these save plan rules are thrown away. There's also something called the buyback provision. Under the buyback program for PSLF, if you get to 120 payments that you believe you should be qualifying for forgiveness, at that point, you can submit a request for buying back time in forbearance. And the way that works is if it's less than a year, then they're going to look at the IDR payment you had before and after that period, and they'll allow you to buy back up to 12 months at the lower of those two payments. So that's very generous. A lot of people, for example, that come out of training right away or something might have had a $0 a month payment, even under like the IBR plan, that they could potentially buy back that period of time at, even if save is overturned. So this PSLF buyback regulation is really not on people's radar. It's not probably going to go anywhere. So that's one positive thing I'd say, is if this forbearance lasts fewer than 12 months, then people that when they hit their what should have been their 120 months of credit, the main thing you're going to want to do is have your PSLF credit certified, and then you would want to look at whatever the lower of the two IDR payments would have been, pretend the save plan's not on the table, calculate what your payment would be on like IBR or something, and then, you know, you could buy back that period. Now, if the forbearance is longer than 12 months, then you have to provide tax documentation as to what your payment would have been during that period of paused payments. And so that's what you would be able to do, is buy back based off of providing some information basically on your income and tax returns during that period. Now, if you do the buyback program, you do have to be really on the ball. Like, you have to provide income documentation right away. You have to be following up really aggressively. It's not like a borrower-friendly process in terms of like how engaged you have to be to get it done, but it is much better. Let's say you would have been making payments, you know, at a resident income level right now. You know, it is much better than, you know, paying $3,000 a month or something like that if you're, you know, an attending physician, because you skipped these payments because they pushed it on you. Another thing here, the full-time policy for, you know, what counts for PSLF, that's also not under threat here. So remember the 30 hours a week requirement. A lot of times it was 30 hours a week or your employer's definition of full-time, whichever is greater. And that caused a lot of problems. So this new PSLF rule came out and said, well, it's just 30 hours a week. We're going to count that as full-time. Doesn't matter what your employer says. So basically, PSLF borrowers have less to worry about than other people do. People that are going for 20 and 25 year forgiveness, the question is, you know, should I get on, you know, a different plan during this time? You know, a lot of it really depends on what your goals are, what you think your income is and what it will be, and how long you think it'll take to process things. So if you are for sure going for a forgiveness plan, you're on save, let's just say that you know that if save went away, it'd be catastrophic to you being on pay. Well, then you might want to be on pay, you know, and you have the ability to apply now under the, you know, blocking temporarily of that final save plan rule going into effect. The big question I think people are going to have is, do I roll the dice with a paper application, or do I just wait around until that website application is live? That's a really hard call. If I was going for PSLF, you know, I would probably think through just what are the pros and the cons. Is my IBR payment or my pay payment really low? You know, if so, you could maybe go ahead and apply now, knowing that it might take up to 90 days is what some of the servicers are quoting people, which is ridiculous, but that's what we're hearing. You could also just say, you know, I just want to wait, and I want to wait for this online application to come back, which hopefully will take no more than a couple weeks. So that's another option that people could have. I mean, it really depends, I think, on people's risk tolerance, to be honest. Because once this new website goes live with the new online application process, I think we'll be cooking, because I've got some bad news. I think this court legal battle is going to go on for a long time. I think there's really kind of two scenarios, one where Trump wins, one where Kamala Harris wins. You know, if Trump wins, depends on what those lower court orders are. Like, he might just decide, if he gets a court order from the Eighth Circuit that he likes, he might not appeal it to the Supreme Court and just let that lower court order stand, wiping away all the save plan stuff without him having to do anything. He also, if they did find save was allowable, then his administration could just very easily make a new rule undoing the save plan. So, you know, a world where Trump wins is like saves toast for sure. Now, a world where Kamala Harris wins, you know, save is very likely still toast, but it's going to take a lot longer. And the reason there is you'd get conflicting rulings from lower courts. They'll be appealed to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court's got to get it on the docket, and they have to make a ruling after oral arguments. So, you know, they'll probably telegraph which way they're leaning during the oral arguments, but that might not happen until November, December, even January or something like that. Someone mentioned on our team that their docket is pretty full already for the first month or two of their term. And so let's just say it makes it on the docket and make a ruling. You know, this ruling could take until as late as June 2025 to come out. So if you think about the Eighth Circuit having some sort of injunction, now the question would be, you know, would the Supreme Court rule on whether or not there should be an injunction quicker than they would be able to make an oral argument? I mean, who knows? I'm not a legal expert, right? That's not my expertise. It's student loans. But it seems likely to me that if something is this big of a focus, you know, of the opponents of the SAVE plan, and it's something that has drawn this much legal attention, then I think that things are going to be on lockdown for a very extended period of time. And I do think that there's ways that people can save money because, you know, I'm going to be honest, I don't really think that the buyback thing is an option for IDR, like 2025-year forgiveness. That's not in the cards. So I think if you're a 2025-year forgiveness person, I would be trying to get on whatever lowest payment I could possibly get right now because it's probably way lower than what it'll be in the future. And if you're a PSLF borrower, you know, I would try to keep really careful track of what my required payment would be right now. And I would try to make sure that I would be ready to do a buyback provision by making sure my employment is being certified every 6 months, just to make sure that, you know, they know about all of your employment credit. And then when you hit that 120th month, you'd be able to apply for the buyback provision with really good documentation of what your payment would have been during this time. Now, if you don't trust that you're going to remember to do that, then it's a great idea for PSLF borrowers to go ahead and apply and get on an alternative IDR repayment plan, particularly if you would qualify for something in residency or fellowship or something like that. And, you know, to be honest too, a lot of people have super low payments for PSLF right now because they're not having to recertify until 2025. And if you think about that rule that they're going to look at your required payment before and after the forbearance, if that's less than 12 months, which it probably will be, since I think we'll have a final ruling by June of 2025, and this started all in July, then that would predict that if you're on PSLF and you were a resident or fellow and now you're an attending, or you had a really low income, now you have a much larger income, then the smart thing to do probably is nothing. Because if you do nothing, then at least you might be able to set yourself up for a buyback when you eventually hit your 120th month of credit and then be able to buy back at a much lower rate than if you switched to IBR now and had to recalculate your payment. So there's all kinds of complex stuff going on right now. And I imagine a lot of people's heads are still spinning, and we're here to support you. If you want to ask a question, go to studentloanplanner.com/voicemail and just, you know, ask your question. I'll do the very best that I can to answer it. Then if you need a one-on-one analysis of what do we think with all this uncertainty, what should you do? You know, you can get a plan for new clients or a follow-up plan at studentloanplanner.com/book. So that's what I've got for you today, folks. It's a very difficult time in student loan world. It's frustrating. It's confusing, but we're here for you. We're going to keep pumping out these podcast episodes. We're going to keep trying to answer your questions live. And again, studentloanplanner.com/voicemail. If you want to just leave a quick recording, studentloanplanner.com/book if you need a consult. Thanks, everybody, and have a good rest of your week.